Praise the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I mean, looking forward to the day when we get to see Him face to face. Y'all give Him praise. Y'all want to patty cake God. I'm glad He didn't patty cake for us. He came down here and rescued us, right? You have your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to catch some of you up who haven't been here. I'm going to catch you up as quickly as I can because we have a lot of ground to cover. How many of you have learned something in the past few weeks? Or at least it's caused you to dig to try to learn something. I definitely don't claim to be able to teach anyone anything. Let me say this. I want to reiterate this point so that you don't find yourself following some crazy man. This is how I see things. And I give you my biblical backing on why I see things the way that I do. It doesn't mean I'm 100% right on any of this. So let me make that disclaimer before we get started, okay? So if you're Mr. Prideful who knows how everything's going to unfold exactly, I know I'll see you afterwards to tell me how you differ in opinion with me. And I'll tell you the same thing I tell everyone else when they think that they know everything about everything. You don't. But thanks for trying. It's good that you study, but don't act so dogmatic about it. You may or may not, probably are, be a little off in your thinking. But what we want to do is we want to take the Scriptures today, and to the best of our ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we want them to teach us something. As we looked at Leviticus 23 several weeks ago now, and we talked about Pentecost, and we talked about what feast in Leviticus 23 Jesus had fulfilled so far, I told you, I said, and I have a sneaky suspicion, who's going to fulfill the rest? Because it's kind of obvious, isn't it, when we talk about Jesus. And when you study the Word of God long enough, you will understand that you see Jesus from Genesis all the way to the Revelation when He's revealed. If you look in your life each day, you'll see Him move and work and operate in your life each day. But what we don't want to do is we don't want you to, because we're looking at Leviticus 23 and the feast, we don't want you to think you're supposed to revert back to Judaism and observe these things. In fact, Paul wrote to Galatians, says it's not supposed to be like that. In fact, when they were trying to revert back to Judaism, Paul actually corrected Peter in a loud voice, and he said, Peter, if you're making these people feel like they need to be circumcised because that's your tradition, he says, you might as well just go and tell them to castrate themselves. Now, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? But did y'all know that's what he told them? What he was saying this, he was reiterating what Paul had always taught. Through Christ, God is making one man from the two. The Jew and the Gentile, He's making them one. This is the nation that He's raising up. So it's important, listen to me. It's important that we see that even in the Jewish culture, in their teaching, in the law, and all the things that they went through, all of those things point to Jesus Christ. Period. And He was the fulfillment, or will be the fulfillment, if He hasn't already, of every single one of those things. Just bank on it. He will sit down on the throne and He will say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. He will sit down and He will proclaim these things, and I promise you, this place will never, ever, ever be the same. So as we look at this, I want to teach you something. We're going to back up to 23. We saw the Passover feast. We saw the feast of the Passover, excuse me, then we saw the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and we know that Jesus was our blood sacrifice, our Passover, and if His blood is applied to our life, death is going to pass us over. Does everybody agree with that? Hallelujah. We saw that. We saw that pictured for us. We saw the unleavened bread. How many of you know that the unleavened bread was placed in a tomb for you and for me, that sinless body? And Jesus said Himself, I am the bread, right? Y'all miss that? Y'all got it now, right? How many of you, God's using these messages to kind of put some connected dots in your life? Good, that's what these kind of messages are for. They're going to connect some dots. And as you live your life, you're going to walk along, and another day, God's going to connect another dot. And before you see it, you're going to see a little better than you did in the past. But you won't see it all in this life, I promise. Not until you're glorified, and it won't be in this world. So as we look at this, understand, He's teaching us. He's giving us pictures. So we see Jesus as the Passover lamb. Jesus as the unleavened bread, that body, sinless body that was broken for us. We talked about first fruits, and we know that Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits of our resurrection. Aren't you thankful for that? Man, because Jesus rose from the grave, one day Kirk Hall is going to raise from the grave. We talked about Thessalonians and how we're going to be raised, and we're going to meet Him in the air, and all those things. And we see as we keep going, we see the Feast of Weeks. That was Pentecost, where the church was empowered and born. How exciting was that? Not exciting to any of you. It's exciting to me. Because the dunamis power that the Holy Spirit unleashed on the church lives inside of Kirk Hall. That power that continues to motivate me, to elevate me, to push me along, to cause me to press on and to persevere, that's the mark of a Christian. Did you know that? True perseverance, you never lose your faith no matter how bad it gets. Because the Holy Spirit has sealed you when? Till the day of redemption. And last week we talked about the Feast of Trumpets. And I told you I differ with some people because I see more than one trumpet. People say the Feast of Trumpets is the rapture. I said, no, there's lots of trumpets after the church age. In fact, one marks the end of the church age, and we talked about it. When we see the trumpet at the rapture sounded, and we know this when John in Revelation chapter 4, when we see the end of the church age, it said God called John up with a loud voice like a trumpet. Come up here! I can't wait to hear! Come up here! I don't know if you get excited about that. I get excited about that stuff. Come up here! I can't wait! When he says, Kirk Hall, come up here! Church, come up here! And I'm a part of that. We talked about that. Then we talked about the next trumpets that we saw in Revelation 8, 9, 10, and 11. We saw some trumpets where God began to unleash something like the earth has never seen before. We call that the Great Tribulation. And through those trumpets, seven of them, God is going to unleash things like this earth has never seen before. And then at the end of those seven trumpets, when all that plays out in the 7.5 years, if you study and you get into all this stuff, I mean the 7 years, excuse me, after the last 3.5, the bad part, when you get to the end of the seven, because that's complete for God, isn't it? We see that over and over and over again. We'll see it again today. When it gets to the seven, we talked about last week, there's going to be another trumpet. That trumpet is going to introduce the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. We made the distinction between the rapture and the second coming. Both of them marked by a trumpet. But they're different from each other. Understand that. When Jesus comes back at the second coming that we see in Matthew chapter 24 and that we see in the latter parts of Revelation that we looked at last week, when you see that, people, listen, He's not coming for us. Everybody understand that? He's already brought us home. He's already came for us. He came for us 2,000 years ago. Everybody get that? Go like this if you get that. I told you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is what? The first sentence. The first sentence. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ has already been revealed to me. How about you? Huh? How about you? How many of you? You were in a church service kind of like me one time and the Spirit of God revealed who Jesus Christ really is and said, here is Jesus. Here is who Jesus is to you. Here is who you are. Apart from Him, you need Him more than you need the oxygen that you breathe. He is the only hope you have, Kirk Hall. Jesus opened Himself up and showed me. But we know this if we study and we understand the different ages and eras that I talked about. We understand something when we can grasp it pretty quickly. I'm going to simplify it for you. The Old Testament was for the Jew. And what it was is God established His heart and His desire to have a relationship with Him like none other. And what happened is the pagans looked at that and they thought that was kind of funny. But they still envied it. But then with Jesus Christ and a partial blinding, we know that the Jew has been blinded partially by God. Did you know that? Scripture confirms that. And through that blinding right now, they can't see Him like we see Him. But one day when that last trumpet that we talked about, the trumpet of the second coming when Jesus Christ sets foot on the Mount of Olives and the whole earth shakes. Whoo, what a day. When He comes back on that white horse, and guess what? I'm going to be galloping right there with Him because I've already been bought. I've already been purchased. I've already been redeemed. And I'm going to ride with Him. And let me tell you what, He sent 144,000, and I showed you last week they were Jews. He sent 144,000 Jews to go pick out the remnant that was still in this world. I told you, I said, Gentile, listen to me careful. Pay attention. If you miss it in this lifetime, don't think that those people who were martyred, don't think for a second that those people who were martyred during the time of tribulation are necessarily Gentiles, because I have a hard time believing any Gentiles will receive Christ. I can't say that they will or they won't, but let me tell you this. Your time ends, Gentile. Pay attention. When you hear that trumpet of rapture, your time ends. Now, that's to say this. Maybe some will. I don't decide who receives mercy and grace. God does. Okay? Because there are some Jews who right now are coming to faith in Jesus Christ because he's revealing himself. So he hasn't blinded them as a whole. So maybe, perhaps, there'll be some Gentiles squeak in. But I know this. He raised 144,000 Jews to go rescue a remnant of Jews. He didn't raise any Gentiles with them to be left behind. And here's what he did. He put angels to watch over those 144,000 so that death couldn't come upon them. So that they could do what they had to do. And that was to go out and to rescue the elect from Israel who were still left behind. Now, you say, well, why does he do that? He don't do that for us. He's done a lot more for you. You better pay attention. You weren't included in this promise, and he engrafted you in. You better be thankful that in this lifetime he's revealed himself to you so that you can have a personal relationship with him. You better be thankful, Gentile. Because he didn't have to. He chose to. So we see this. We see that the Feast of Trumpets fulfills those trumpets, the trumpet of rapture, the trumpets of tribulation that we see in Revelation. And then we see this, the trumpet of the second coming, where we know this. He's going to reveal himself to the Jew. You say, well, I thought he's going to reveal himself to everybody. You already told me he's revealed himself to you. You're coming back with him. We talked about that last week. Stop thinking like that. He's going to reveal himself to the Jew because they haven't seen him completely yet. It's going to be a day of sorrow. Because let me tell you, I don't care if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile. If you were born white, black, Hispanic, there is but one way to God the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ the Son. And that day will be a day of sorrow because some of them are going to realize that they have missed their Messiah all this time. And let me say this, it's going to be everlasting too late. All of those who were not martyred during that time of tribulation, they missed their opportunity. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Please, understand that. And let me say this, I don't know that there'll be any Gentiles in that group. I would love to think so, but guess what? I'm not God, so I don't get to decide. Because if I was God, I'd have killed all y'all a long time ago. Right? That's why he didn't give us that power. You'd have made me mad one time pulling out in front of me in traffic. I'd have been like, swoosh! Be gone! You laugh, but that's why we're not God. That's why he is. He's long-suffering and he's patient. He endures a lot. Let me tell you what, he's endured a lot. He's observed a lot of wickedness from man through the ages. That's what we're going to talk about today. There will come a day when he will take no more, where sin will be judged. I know your screen probably says the coming fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. Let me just back you up and help you understand something. Atonement's a good thing for those who are under the atonement. But with atonement is not only forgiveness and cleansing. With atonement comes judgment. So we've talked about the fact that the church age will end somewhere between 3 and 4. 4, we're raptured up. And then we see this. And again, I'm not going verse by verse through Revelation. I'm just giving you the big picture so you can kind of see it. And then we see that then we'll begin this time of tribulation, sorrow, and pain like the earth has never seen before. Then the trumpet of the second coming will happen and Jesus Christ will come here and his people will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Watch what's going to happen next. Watch what's going to take place. Because I want you to pay very, very close attention to some details that I'll stop and I'll point out to you so that you don't get lost. In Jesus coming back to this earth and judging, how many of you understand that God has set up the person of Jesus Christ as the judge over all? Everybody go like this. Because he will judge. He will judge sin. And unfortunately, and I know we don't like to talk about it, all those who are found still in their sin, dead in their transgression, will receive the lake of fire for all eternity. It didn't say a big bubble bath where you feel good about living any lifestyle you want to live in this earth. A lake of fire. And it says this. It says the earth's going to open up. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. I'm not a scientist. I did take science in school, and I know this, that if you go down far enough into the middle of the earth, it's real hot. He says, that's eternity. That's what awaits those who are judged for their sin. Now, let me say this before you get all crazy. My judgment for sin was complete at the cross. Jesus Christ took my sin upon himself. I don't have to be judged for my sin now. I know that sounds like he's kind of a scapegoat, doesn't it? Y'all remember that word, scapegoat? We're going to see it in Leviticus 16 when we talk about Day of Atonement. We're going to see it in Leviticus 23 We talk about this. So Leviticus 23, back where we were, the Day of Atonement. The Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of the 7th month, 10 and 7 again. Wow. It's almost like God's trying to say something to you. Is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do not work on that day because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. We know this. We're going to go back and look at 16. Atonement was made by the, say it with me, high priest. We're going to see that it was set up like that. Pay close attention to that. Very important. It says, anyone who does not deny himself, underline that in your Bible. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I want you to stop for a second. We're going to talk about this in great detail in just a second. He said some things are going to happen that day. And we're going to look at 16. I'm going to show you in detail. The high priest is going to make an atonement for sin. And it doesn't really matter how much atonement's made. If you don't deny yourself, you'll be cut off. You say, why is that so important? I promise you we'll get to it before this is over today. Because Jesus Christ preached the same message, and you better understand that. All the people who go around and they say, well, salvation's not conditional upon anything. Let me tell you, it is conditional according to Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So I ask you this question, was Jesus' atonement for sin? Yes! But if man is going to be under that atonement and covered, does man have to deny himself in repentance and come to Jesus Christ and surrender 100% of the time? No ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to see that pictured for us here on the Day of Atonement. It's pretty awesome when you see it like this. He goes on and he says, what verse were we on? I love people listening. They keep me on track. 31? 30. If it is not redeemed before a full year has passed, the house... 30. I'm in the wrong chapter. A page blue. Y'all tell me. If I get a page blue from the air conditioner, I start reading 26. Y'all let me know. 30. Here we go. A good preacher would mark his place. I got it marked. I'm just not a smart preacher. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath of rest. And you must deny yourselves. From the evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath. I'm going to talk about what he's talking about in denying yourself in a second so that you understand that, because it's going to take on a whole new meaning. But flip over to 16 for me. He's going to give us a little more detail. Everybody there? Look at the subtitles in your Bible. It will say, The Day of Atonement. He's going to give this to us in detail. I want you to see it in detail because these details are going to be important. And I'm going to go as fast as I can. So bear with me. Okay? Anybody have to be anywhere before like 2:30? Good. Just play it. The Lord spoke to Moses after... excuse me. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place. He said, tell him don't just walk up in there. Behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark or else he will die. How many of you think there's consequences to disobedience? He said, or else he'll die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area. With a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, he is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. Man, we could go on a whole new message. I'm not going to do that on the garments of the priest. I won't bore most of you with that today. Some of you would be excited about that and think it was neat. But we'll just keep reading for the sake of time. These are sacred garments. Just know that. So he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take 2 male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast the lots for the 2 goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Y'all catch that? Alive. Alive. Sacrifice. Now, most of the time when we see in Scripture, we see this. We see that the sacrifices, they don't live anymore. How many of you know we have a living sacrifice? Anybody understand? Y'all feel that inside when you realize that? A living sacrifice. I love the fact that Jesus is my scapegoat. When people say that, they'll say, He's a crutch. He's more than a crutch. He's not just a crutch. He's my scapegoat. He's my everything. I can't even get out. I can't even limp without Him. He's bigger than a crutch. So call me weak, because when I'm weak, He's strong. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony so he may not die. Good thing. Pay close attention to any instructions that they say at the end so you won't die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his fingers sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Some of your Bibles say the mercy seat. You're going to hear me refer to it as both. It's the atonement cover, but it's also the mercy seat. But watch this. It's also the throne that we're about to see in a few minutes. It's going to sit right in the same piece of dirt that the Ark of the Covenant once sit. So understand that clearly. Whew, I love it. Y'all don't. But y'all will. Where were we at? He is to take some of the bull's blood with his fingers sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. Huh. Interesting random number again, right? Not random at all. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. And he shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. And this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanliness and rebellion of the Israelites. Whatever their sins have been, he is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. You can go on. You can read all this. Can I just go ahead and finish it? Let's do it. No, go on and read the rest of it in your own time. You get the picture. Because I'm going to come back to it, refer to it several times. So what we see here, we see Aaron, the high priest, and he's doing a duty. And he's making atonement on the Day of Atonement for all of Israel, first for himself and then for all of Israel. Did everybody catch that? So don't get caught up in, at this point in time in your studies, don't get caught up in what kind of animal it was and what exactly happened. Just know this. Aaron is performing the job of a mediator between God and man. Everybody understand? In fact, he told him, Aaron, you can't just walk in here like everybody else, like a commoner. In fact, you have to have on a special garment, and there has to be some special things that happen so that you are shielded from the glory of God, because you can't handle it, son. So here's what's going to happen. He's going to come in, and he's going to make first sacrifice for himself, and then he's going to make sacrifice for all of Israel for their sin, and this is going to last a year. I feel sorry for the Jews today. Do you know there's no continual atonement being made for their sin right now? How many of you understand? In 70 A.D., write this down, a very important date. In 70 A.D., Jerusalem was leveled by the Romans, just as Jesus proclaimed it would be. And here's the deal. There's not been an atonement made. They were supposed to make this every single year. Oh, but there's been an atonement made. They've just missed him, haven't they? Oh, how amazing is that? When we see Jesus proclaim that there won't be a rock on top of another rock here when it's all said and done. You know what Jesus was saying? There is from now on just one atonement that's going to cover any sin. Understand it. People ask all the time, why do the Muslims control the Temple Mount? Because if the Jews controlled the Temple Mount, they'd try to go back to their old way of atoning for sin. And God said, hold on for a minute. We're not going to atone for a sin like that any longer, because that was just a picture of the one who will fulfill the great atonement, our great high priest that Hebrews talks about, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about y'all. Anybody else's spirit inside bear witness to that truth? So we see this, the Day of Atonement, as we've seen in 16 and 23. I'm going to break it down for you, and then we're going to get real in a second. Everybody still with me? Daniel, if you have your Bibles, go on and flip over to Daniel. Chapter 12. Daniel 12, verse 1 says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress. We talked about that, right? Tribulation. Such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. How many of you excited about that? He goes on and he says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting, what? Contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel gives us a picture of judgment here. Daniel gives us a picture of in judgment we see atonement, and in atonement we see judgment, don't we? Daniel gives us that picture. Revelation chapter 20, flip over there. I'm just giving you some intro, and we're going to get where we're going, I promise you. You can hold your finger there in Daniel. You'll want to go back and mark it because you'll want to go home and go, man, check this out. He said this way back in Daniel. Yes, he did. Verse 11 to 20, it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Verse 13 says this, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It kind of sounds similar to what Daniel said, doesn't it? I want to read that for you because here's why. There are a lot of people who say when all the turmoil hit in 70 AD, that was it. That was what Daniel was talking about. I'm here to tell you this, that after 70 AD in the book of Revelation, around 90 AD, John says it's still yet to happen. So understand, a time like this earth has never seen is still yet to happen. Jesus Christ returning to this earth to judge sin is still yet to happen. The Day of Atonement, Jesus fulfilling that through His throne, through the judgment that we see. First, I want you to look at the Day of Atonement. Number one, it was an act accomplished by a high priest. We've already covered that. Everybody say high priest. There is no atonement without the high priest. Okay? No atonement. That's what he's telling us in 16 of Leviticus and 23, that the high priest has a job to do. Okay? It was a substitutionary sacrifice for atonement. How many of you understand? Those people really should have been slaughtered because the wage of sin is death. But instead, they were presented with these rams. How many of you understand that? For sacrifice. These rams took the place of the people. Understand that there is still a substitutionary sacrifice in regard to atonement. His name is Jesus. I'll go on and cut to the chase. So it was a substitutionary sacrifice of atonement. Number three, pay attention to this on the Day of Atonement, because I want you to see that all these things happen at the great white throne judgment that we're going to see in just a moment. A day of self-denial. He said, if any person doesn't deny himself, he'll be cut off. Now, didn't you just say that all of the sin for Israel is atoned for because of the sacrifice that Aaron the high priest made? That's what I said. All of the sin of the world, according to Hebrews, Jesus Christ has already died once for all. Did you know that? How many of you know Jesus isn't going to come back and die for anyone else? Now here's the deal. Those who don't deny themselves and by faith trust in Him, I'm sorry, but according to what He's picturing for us right here and according to what we see in the book of Revelation, those who don't deny themselves, just as we saw in Leviticus, they're going to be cut off. They're going to be cut off. So He said there's going to be a day of self-denial centered around the Day of Atonement. Well, here's what they abstain from. Eating and drinking. Don't freak out. It was just one day. Okay? Eating and drinking. Marital relationships, now really don't freak out. Washing and bathing. If you don't wash and bathe, your wife's not going to want to have any kind of marital relationship with you anyways. Wearing leather on their feet. Because it was a luxury, wasn't it? And think about that. In the world we live in, wearing leather on their feet was a luxury back then. Not everybody had shoes. Applying lotions or perfumes. So He said, you're going to stink because you don't bathe, and then you can't cover it up with perfume. You can't do that old man, I just got through working. I got to hurry and make it to church. I'm going to throw some deodorant on. You can't do that. And let me just tell you this. Don't do that here. It doesn't work. You smell like stank covered up with deodorant. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. I thought it was funny. It's a day of self-denial. He said, you got to deny yourself on this day. It was pretty harsh, wasn't it? He said, don't take the substitute lightly. Don't just abuse grace. Don't just party down just because atonement's been made for you. That's for all the people who believe in cheap grace. I just prayed this little prayer and live any way I want to live and still make it to heaven. Let me help you out. No, you won't. Unless you deny yourself, Jesus Christ Himself said, you won't make it to heaven. Or maybe we just can't quote Him anymore in church. Maybe we should quote all the famous preachers. If you just pray this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart, you'll go to heaven. Folks, if God could have saved people by telling us to pray a prayer, don't you think He would have just let us know that instead of sacrificing all these animals under the old covenant and sacrificing His only begotten Son under the new? How hideous is that? Anybody still listening? It's a day of certain judgment. We've seen it's an act accomplished by the high priest. It's a substitutionary sacrifice of atonement. It's a day of self-denial. It's a day of certain judgment. Certain judgment for who? All those who don't deny themselves. All those who do not deny themselves will certainly face judgment. Let me tell you something. Just because you're under the new covenant and not the old covenant, let me say this to you. Every one of you here within the sound of my voice who does not deny yourself in this lifetime will face certain judgment for your sin. Understand that. You say, but atonement's been made. Yeah, here's the thing. Atonement was made there too, but self-denial was still part of it. Why do you think Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll obey me, and if you don't obey me, you're really not one of mine? Oh, wow, that'll mess us up, won't it? I promise you, if we look at this in its right context, it'll mess you up and straighten out a whole bunch of theological mess that you're in. Some of you here bought some bill of goods from some preacher who said heaven's a good place. All you have to do to get there is pray this prayer. I pray today that God opens your eyes and you see that that is a lie hatched straight from hell. Jesus Himself said when they asked, Lord, what must we do to follow You? He said, if any man is going to follow Me, and He said it in sequential order, let him first deny himself and then take up his cross daily. I didn't make that up. You say, well, where is that found, brother? I'll tell you, Luke 9, verse 23, go on and highlight it. Go on and highlight all the passages around it. Because that's Jesus preaching, and I wish we lived in a day and time where Jesus' messages held water. Let me tell you what, they still hold water here. When Jesus says it, we believe it. It's a day of certain judgment. But here's the good news. It is also a day of new beginning and rest. That's what I love about the picture of the Day of Atonement. New beginning. Man, guess what? Their sins were atoned for a year. They denied themselves that day. The priest made the atonement. And here's what happens. They enjoyed Sabbath. That's why he threw a Sabbath in there. They enjoyed rest and knowing that God had forgiven their sin for that entire year. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. Hebrews tells us this, that we have a great high priest who made a sacrifice of atonement for sin once for all. That he doesn't have to go in annually. Woo! I wish somebody would get excited about Jesus. He doesn't have to go in annually to make sacrifice for you and me. He made sacrifice for sin once for all. Will all come to faith in Christ? No. But is there room at the cross for all? You bet you. You bet you. Because we're going to see in a second, some of them are not found in the book of life. And I'm going to tell you why. This is going to blow you away. Some of you are going to go, big eyebrow up, huh? Jesus fulfills this for us. Watch what happens. Jesus, as we looked in Daniel, as we looked in Revelation chapter 20, we're going to stay in Revelation 20. We're going to read all those verses again. We're going to talk about them. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence. Earth and sky fled from His presence. Understand this. Things will never be the same again. Let me help some of you thought theologians here today. The earth is not going to be destroyed as we know. It's not like it's going to be vaporized like some planet on Star Wars. the earth is going to be redeemed. Anybody understand that? The earth is going to be redeemed. In fact, when Jesus shows up, He's so amazing in His unveiled glory. How many of you understand? He was veiled when He came the first time. He is going to show up in His unveiled glory, and when He does, the sky is going to tremble. Things are going to immediately change because of His mere presence. Isn't that what happens in our lives? You really know Jesus? And I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it, earth and sky fled from His presence. There was no place for them. Now, that's pretty bad when He's so amazing that there's no place on earth for earth. Says this, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Underline this, dead. How many of you understand? You will never be a part of the dead. You will only be counted as those who are asleep. Amen. That's thrilling to me. Because one day this whole body is going to die. I understand that as we define death. But in the true sense of the word, this is not me anyways. Paul said, this is a corrupt vessel. One day I'm going to put on incorruption. I can't wait. But somewhere between here and there, Corinthians told us last week that in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. You know why? Because I can't stand in the glory of God in this. And I'm going to see Him face to face in all His glory, knowing as I am known. But understand, the rest of the world, all of its inhabitants, and all the way since time began, died. Amen? So they are A, in the ocean, under the ground, deteriorated to where we can't find them. But one day, did you know this? This blows people away. Even the sinners are going to be resurrected. Even the sinners are going to be resurrected. He tells us this. This is resurrection too. They're going to be called out from the grave or from the sea. You say, why the sea? What about the pirates that had to walk the plank in their sin? What about all the people who were buried at sea? That's why it says the earth and the sea, or the grave and the sea. So we keep reading. He says, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and that's the book I really want to focus on today. Pay attention to that one. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. How many of you know? Those other books, their records of all the wrong and all the sin that was never atoned for all those dead people. Can I say this to you today? I have nothing written in those first two books. Did you know that? I don't have anything written in those books. You know why? Because Jesus Christ, through His blood, has erased all of my transgression. I have nothing written in those books. That's why I'm not standing there with the dead. But the dead are standing there, and there's things written in those books. I've heard all kinds of theories of what those things are. I think it's going to be things like this. They're feeble efforts to try to work their way to God through their religion. Oh yeah, you did a good thing for your neighbor once, but it doesn't count for any kind of righteousness. Oh yeah, yeah, you went to church a few times. You even got baptized. But atonement's never been personally applied to your life, and your name is not found written in the most important book that we're going to talk about today, the book of life. It said the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Now, let's talk about that for a second so that you're not confused. Everybody listening? Nobody is in hell right now. Nobody's in hell right now. You say, well, where are they? What does it look like? I can only tell you the glimpse that I have. I know this. Jesus taught a story about a man who went to Hades, to the grave. The Old Testament called this Sheol. New Testament calls it Hades, not Gehenna. The lake of fire is Gehenna. That's hell. That is eternal hell reserved for judgment. These people are in a holding place. And let me say this. From Scripture, I'll tell you this. It is a holding place of torment. They're not on easy street. But they're in this holding place. That's Hades. It says, death and Hades and the sea gave up all the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I know we're already at 12 o'clock. Y'all want to stay a little late? by observing what takes place here at the great white throne judgment. Let me tell you this. We stopped last week at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The next event on this timeline is the great white throne judgment. Understand that. And here we are at the great white throne judgment, the Day of Atonement, where we look and those who have been atoned for will eternally stay with God. Those who have not been atoned for, they will eternally stay in the lake of fire, in torment. You say, well, preacher, that's not popular. I come to church to feel good about myself. Listen, feel good about yourself. That's fine. But let me help you. You have nothing to offer God. The best thing for you to do is to deny yourself, because it is in denying ourselves that we truly find Him. So let's look at this. The names of those who have surrendered to Christ are found written in the book of life. Amen? I want to help you out with something. These people, death and Hades, who stand before God at the great white throne judgment, you know what they are? They're the ones who didn't deny themselves. I told you, denying yourself is very important, because we can't say atonement wasn't made, can we? We cannot say that atonement was not made for those people. Atonement was made once for all, according to Hebrews. Just as the priest would make it once for all for the year, atonement was made once for all. That's why God can stand here and be just as just can be. No one can say, God sentenced them to hell. He put them in hell. No, He didn't. They chose to hold on to their life on this earth, even through all the tribulation, through all the turmoil that they saw. Through all the years and all the generations of His grace and His mercy on this earth, they chose. They chose to hold on to their sin. You say, well, maybe God didn't reveal Himself to them. Why don't you read Romans and see that He reveals Himself to everyone? All they got to do is look around. Hello? Yeah, when we look at this in the proper context of the great white throne judgment being the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, we see some things. We see atonement, but we also see denial of self. Do not separate those two in talking about salvation. You say, well, I don't know. Let me tell you this. Did you know this? I believe this. Y'all underline that if you're keeping notes. I believe. Kirk Hall believes this. Okay? Because I promise you, you're going to have someone say, I'm crazy, because Brother Lovejoy didn't preach it like that back at my home church. I'm going to tell you right now that every single human being that has ever been born into this earth, at one point in time, their name was in the book of life. You say, how many of you believe in eternal security? Raise your hand. You won't be able to believe in eternal security if you disagree with me on this point. I'm going to show you why. Turn back over to Revelation chapter 3. Same guy, John, being led by the Spirit to write these things. Revelation chapter 3 says something very interesting. This is why I can't go all the way with my Calvinistic brothers on limited atonement. Can't do it. Sorry, John. The Scripture says He died once for all sin. Then Romans says He's revealing Himself to everyone. They're not seeing it. Understand, I get it. People say, well, I don't believe someone can reject God. Then you take out every single Scripture that is found in this book where someone rejected God on their own will, because they do. Them rejecting God is only because God has given them will. Don't think that that takes away from His sovereignty. In His sovereignty, He's given us will so that at the end of time, He will stand there just, because that's who He is. Watch what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, so that all you people who believe in eternal security can say, I don't anymore, or man, Kurt has showed me something that I've never seen before, because I promise you God had to show me this because I've seen it too many times in Scripture. He's talking to the church at Sardis. Everybody say, to the church at Sardis. How many of you understand? Just because you're part of a church doesn't mean that you're born again. Say amen louder so that I know you get that. Okay? Perseverance. See, me and John Calvin will jive on the P. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. Don't. It's not important. It's not important that John Calvin said anything. What's important is what Jesus Christ and His Word taught. Here's the thing. Perseverance is the mark of a true believer. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul taught that. Jesus taught that. How many of you would agree with that? But watch this. He says in chapter 3, verse 5, "He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white." We talked about those who are dressed in white. What a day that's going to be. Watch what he says. "I will never blot out his name from the book of life." I will never blot out his name from the book of life. Did you know Moses asked to not be blotted out? Then Moses turned around and asked to blot me out for everyone else. Did you know that the psalmist understood that there might be a blotting out? How many of you have read Psalm 51? Understand this. Atonement in the Old Testament was for a season. We just talked about it. After that season was up, another atonement had to be made. How many atonements will be made for sin in the new covenant? I'll go like this. He made one for all. All what? All the people in the American church? All the early church? All the people in foreign countries who've come to know Christ through missionary? Only the saved people. Well, if we view that, only the saved people, if you're not saved here today, you're in trouble. How'd you get saved? One day he revealed to you that atonement was made, and he said what? Deny yourself. How many of you remember that? So here's the deal. You know what the sorrow of the eternal lake of fire is going to be? When that book is opened up, they had a chance. When that book is opened up, there was atonement for their sin, but they did not deny themselves. And according to what we see on the Day of Atonement, those who didn't deny themselves, didn't we say these things picture Jesus? Why won't they be consistent then with our theology? Because your theology is wrong. What happens is this. The sorrow of hell is not fire. The sorrow of hell is knowing that Jesus Christ atoned for my sin. I chose to hold on to my life. I kept me. And in keeping me, what did he say as we look at the parallel over in the Old Covenant? I'm cut off from among his people. You say, well, what if somebody's truly saved? If somebody's truly saved, I'll tell you this, they'll overcome. They'll persevere to the end. They're truly saved. I believe in it, 100%. I believe in eternal security. That's why I can't say, if you believe in eternal security and you don't see this way, you're going to have to stop believing in eternal security. How many of you just saw the reference to a blotting out? You just go look it up. Go take your little fancy computer concordance and write, blotted out. See how many times it comes up in reference to this same book. I'm thankful today that I'm not going to be blotted out because my sins have already been paid for. I'm sealed. I am sealed until the day of redemption. Here's the thing. These people who are standing before God here at the great white throne judgment, standing before the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have already talked about that. How many of you know when Jesus sits down on that throne, it is the great high priest coming into that throne room, into that holy of holies where Aaron would have made that sacrifice. It is Jesus coming in and listen, setting himself down on the mercy seat of God. Setting himself down on the mercy seat of God as the atoning sacrifice for all mankind, for all the ages. And then he looks at all of those who have rejected him from throughout time. He looks at everything that they've done. And everything that they've done from those other two books, I'll tell you this, because I know I used to be there. Everything that they had done up until that point was sinful. Even at their best, it was still sinful in comparison to His glory, to His holiness. And then still, He opens the book of life. And in opening the book of life, He says, those whose names were not found in this book were cast into the lake of fire forever. So we see in Jesus fulfilling this, we see the great high priest on his throne. Hebrews 8, 9, 10, 11 talk about that great high priest. Go back when you have time and read it. I know we're running short of time now, even though I'm not on anybody's schedule. Anybody still listening? And I wish you folks would get this. I promise you, it's exciting to be to the point where we can even start talking about this kind of stuff. I was tickled to death that God would release me to talk about this. The substitutionary sacrifice for sin. We see that substitute, Jesus. Oh, isn't he the fulfillment of everything we saw in substitution on the Day of Atonement in 16 and 23 of Leviticus? Doesn't he fulfill everything? He was without blemish. He was our scapegoat. He was our blood sacrifice. He was all of that. He is our atonement. And our atonement sits down on the mercy seat. The cover there. In the Holy of Holies. I don't have time to explain it to you today, but it's going to be in that same piece of dirt where so much sacrifice was made. It's going to be on that same piece of dirt where man was created from the dust. You say, well, I thought he was created in the Garden of Eden, and I know where the Garden of Eden is. He was created and then put in the Garden of Eden. Don't confuse yourself. He's a substitutionary sacrifice for sin. Without him, there is no substitute. Without him, there is no sacrifice. Without him, there is no atonement. He's the redeemer of those who deny themselves. I said, don't let anybody tell you that there are no conditions. That's hogwash. Let me break that down for you in the Greek. Hogwash. He said, well, if I have to deny myself, isn't that works? No, that's rest, stupid. Did you see it on the Day of Atonement? Deny yourself. Don't do anything. That's surrendering to atonement. How many of you know the joy of surrendering to atonement? No, some of you don't even want to hear about it because he said, I'm stupid. Stupid is as stupid does, like Forrest said. Fact of the matter is yes. The gospel of Jesus Christ includes surrender. If you haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ personally, I promise you this. I promise you, if you don't in this lifetime, one day you will stand there at the great white throne judgment and you will be judged for every sin that you have ever committed and you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. I do not make apologies for that because we just read it in the Bible. See Jesus as the redeemer of those who deny themselves, but also don't forget to see him as this. Oh, we'll have a whole new urgency, won't we, if we realize that not only is he the redeemer of those who deny himself, but he's also the judge of those who do not. Well, preacher, I just don't think it's a popular message to be preaching all this judgment, sin, right? Because that's what the world likes to grab a hold of. Don't judge me. Oh, I'm not judging you. All you're doing is recording stuff that's going to be used to judge you later. Oh, they like that, huh, on your Facebook status. Don't judge me. I was born like this. Yeah, you were. You want to go there. You're born a sinner. So was I. And here's the thing. That's no excuse to not accept the atonement of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, personally as my Savior and Lord, and to count on Him as my only hope. That's just so unpopular. Honey, get the kids. We're leaving. Hey, stop by. I'll give you a list of churches that don't preach the Word of God. You can go visit. I'll give you a list of churches who never talk about judgment. They never talk about hell. They never talk about blood sacrifice. They don't ever make the parallel between the fact that in Leviticus 16, that is a great picture of the great white throne judgment of Jesus Christ when He will A, atone for all of the believers who have followed Him and He will redeem them forever, or B, He will cast all of those sinners into the lake of fire forever. You don't want to hear that? Hey, this ain't the place to be. I want to give people hope. I'm going to tell you right now, if God calls you today to receive new life in Jesus Christ, you don't have to stand there at judgment. You can stand there cleansed in a white robe on the right side of the throne where you belong. He's the redeemer of those who deny themselves, the judge of those who decide to hold on to their lives. But He's also the new beginning. He's also the restoration of this earth. And the eternal rest that we all look forward to, whether we realize it or not. Have you noticed the lost world just keeps getting busier and busier? You know why? God's wanting them to scream for rest. You say, man, the last 10 years of my life, everything's just progressed. We're just all busy, 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 busy. You are. It's only going to get worse. In a little while, the earth's going to be busy trying to live. Run from all the bad things, try to save themselves. I'm glad again I'm going to hear that trumpet that takes me home. God wants you to see that He's the rest that you need. He's given us beautiful pictures through this. There'll be one more next week. My opinion, the one I just can't wait for. They all get me that way. There'll be a new beginning and restoration. The earth and the sky are going to run from Him. What sin messed up, I promise you, Jesus is going to fix. He's going to heal. Did you know that the Bible says that the earth is groaning for that day? Groaning! Because when man fell and sin entered in, the whole earth was afflicted with sin. And when Jesus comes back, the earth is going to run from His glory. It's never going to be the same again. Praise and glory to the Lamb of God. So the conclusion to this. Anybody follow me at all this morning? I went on a trip. I hope you went with me. I hope you packed a snack. Let's hit where the rubber meets the road real quick. The conclusion is this. Where will you stand on Judgment Day? I've already told you. You can go to most so-called churches that I know of, and they're not even going to use the word Judgment Day. I like to sound a little Clint Eastwood when I talk about it. There's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a reckoning. You know why that word excites me? Because I have a holy God who people violate all the time just because they want to. Just because they can. I'm an American and I have rights. I can go into any bathroom I choose to go into. Because I'm an American. There will come a day of reckoning. There will come a day of reckoning. For every sin and every sinner who dies without the atonement of Jesus Christ being personally applied to their life, without denying themselves so that they can enter into that atonement and rest. Let me say this. There will come a day of reckoning for every single one of them. I'm here to tell you just like Jesus told them. Listen to me. Jesus preached the same message. I'm going to plagiarize a sermon. Can I do that? He said, unless you repent. This is Jesus preaching. So y'all don't sell a tape and put my name on it like all these other people who quote Jesus and sell it and get the money for it. Jesus said, unless you repent, you too will likewise perish. Likewise perish, likewise, just like these people that we see at the great white throne judgment. You say, well, preacher, that scares me. Don't scare me. Any believers in the house not scared by that? We shouldn't be afraid. We should say praise and glory to God that I don't have to face that because of what Jesus has done for me. But let me tell you something. If you're sitting here and you're trembling, that's God showing you your need for Him, son, ma'am. That's God showing you that you have played around with this far too long. You have held on to your life. And let me tell you, it was complete denial. It wasn't just deny Him on Sunday. They had to deny Him that whole period. You know what your period is? Your life from this point on, from the time God shows you the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and He personally offers it to you. What's it going to be? Judgment? Because the Bible says this, there's none righteous, no, not one. So if you don't stand before God in Christ, I promise you this, you stand before God in your sin. And you will be judged eternally for that sin. You say, well, that's a hard message to swallow, preacher. I know. That's why people aren't preaching it. But is there anybody here who would like to stand up? I'm going to give you an opportunity. I don't give. Anybody here who would like to stand up right now and debate the fact that that's what God's Word says? That one day there will be judgment for sin and you'll either be found with the righteous in Christ atoned for or you'll be found with the dead and you will receive what you have coming. I didn't think so. So where are you going to be? You're going to enter in through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ into the eternal rest of God that He's prepared for you? Or are you going to say, I'm going to hold on to my life because it's my life and I'll live it any way I want? And whatever other rock and roll song you live by. You'll hold on to that life, I promise you, till the great white throne judgment. And you will receive eternal death in a place called Gehenna, the final hell. You stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today and you say, Kirk, I don't want to play around anymore. I feel God telling me right now that I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I'm willing to repent. And turn to Him and Him alone as the only atoning sacrifice for my sin. You say, Kirk, that's me. I need Jesus to save me today. I need Him to wash me from all of my sin. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? Please no talking. Please no moving around. Just pray. I need Jesus to save me from my sin today. Thank you. Anyone else who says, I need Him to save me from my sin. I don't want to settle for just some church prayer, some walk in the aisle. I need Jesus to forgive me. All my sin. Here today, you say, that's me. You slip up your hand so that I can pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus today? People use the word salvation all the time. They don't even know what it means. It's your protection. Your protection from what? People say, I have salvation in Jesus. Really, you have protection? Protection from what? Let's talk about it. You have protection from the coming judgment. You have protection from the payment that sin requires. You're here today and you say, I need Jesus to save me and to protect me because I know judgment awaits me. Anyone like that here today? You men who raise your hand, I want you to look at me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you two just to make your way up this aisle. There's two men right here. I want them to talk to you. Just come on right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. They'll tell you everything you need. Anyone else who says, Kurt, I realize today that Jesus is my only protection, my only escape. He's showing me right now. I want to run into His arms and I want to deny myself and surrender to Him and to Him alone at this very moment. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now and say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me today. Anyone like that? Maybe you're here today and you say, Kirk, I know I'm a Christian. There's no doubt in my mind. But I'm not being the example that I need to be for those who await judgment. Did you know that's what we're left here to do? We're to be the example of Jesus Christ to the sinners in this world, that they may see Him in us and long to have what we have. Would you be honest with God? Would you repent of those things that are keeping you from being what He's called you to be? The altars are open. If you need prayer, the prayer partners are down front to pray with you. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life this morning.
Seen a new sun.